What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night, October 21st. So you're listening to a brand new episode or watching a brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel and Facebook page. So hit that like button, that subscribe button, that follow button, a notification bell, all that good stuff. And the Boiler Breakdown podcast is proudly brought to you by Mad Mushroom and The Shop. Use the code Breakdown at the shop for free shipping and use the code BREAK5 for $5 off any order over $20 at Mad Mushroom at madmushroom.com. I'm Tanner Lee. Joining me, like they always are, Evan Webb and Aaron Lynch. Fellas, how's it going?
I'm doing all right. How about you, Tan?
Wish we were talking about a more fun game on the football side, but yeah. No, we're not.
It's homecoming. You gotta be excited. Homecoming.
It is homecoming. There's a lot of fun things come with homecoming, and I know, Aaron, you're excited about your blind rankings tonight because you've hyped these up all year long, wanting to make sure you got the blind ranking segment for homecoming. Webby, do you have trivia for us?
I guess we can start off with that. Yeah, and it is actually homecoming related.
All right.
I'm trying to okay, my headphones are being a little weird, so I'm just trying to make sure I've got them all set up here. So it's homecoming related. So I went back. I got a little overzealous. I was going to do it more, but I decided to pare it down because Google wasn't giving me a good answer. So I went
that
back.
Google stuff sucks.
It's awful.
For trying to find trivia.
It looked good for a second, and then I started piecing it together. I was like, there's something just totally wrong here. So yep. I went back. So since 2010, Purdue has played technically 14 homecoming games because 2020, there was no designated homecoming game for obvious reasons. So it's kind of it's a three-parter in a way. The first part is, what is Purdue's record for homecoming games since 2010?
Ooh.
Again, there's 14 games.
14. I'm going to go 5-9.
Okay.
I was thinking 4-10 because I don't think we won one with Hazel.
Man, you guys are selling us short. 6-8.
Ah.
Really?
At one point, we lost 6 in a row from 2012 to 2017.
Well, yeah, so Daryl never won one.
Yep. Second part, what opponent has Purdue played the most since 2010?
For homecoming, that is?
For homecoming, yes. Sorry, yes. And how many games? How many times?
God, you're killing me.
This answer actually, I was actually surprised by this answer.
Can I ask for a clue? Is it not, they're not Big Ten school, right?
They are a Big Ten school. Okay. Yes.
I remember the one homecoming, it wasn't a Big Ten school.
That may or may not be my next question.
Okay. I'm going with the Cats. Wildcats, that is.
Northwestern, okay. Mm-hmm.
That's who I was thinking too.
You're both wrong. We have not played Northwestern on homecoming.
Minnesota?
No, they were second. Is
it North Nebraska?
No, it's Illinois.
Ah.
Played them 3 times, which I thought was four.
Because usually you want to try to schedule somebody you think you're going to beat.
Yeah. I was actually, another team that showed up a couple times was Wisconsin, so I'm not sure what the hell was going on there.
Jeez.
We've had Nebraska once. So my last question was, since 2010, of the 14 games, Purdue has played 3 games against non-Big Ten opponents. Who were they? And I'll give you a bonus if you can get the year.
Oh, man.
Was Notre Dame 2012?
No.
Oh, 13?
That 12 was Wisconsin, which I'm like, why the hell are we playing Wisconsin?
Was it 13?
We had a weird schedule in 2012.
Yeah. Notre Dame was not a homecoming opponent.
Man, we must
Northern
have
Illinois was one of them.
Northern Illinois was one of them in 2013.
That was a thrashing.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Was Bowling Green one of them?
Nope.
Dang.
Was Eastern Michigan?
Nope. I'll say this. One is a Power Four school. One is not.
Was it Virginia Tech?
Nope.
Boston College.
Boston College in 2018.
2000. Yep. Yep. After we were 0-3 and beat a ranked Boston College team.
Yep.
The other one, non-Power Four. I remember playing this team at home. But I don't know if it was Humpka. Was it Nevada?
Nope.
Dang it.
Missouri?
Nope.
Good guess. Who the heck?
I don't have any more.
Is it Ohio?
Nope.
Oh, just kidding.
I'll give you one more hint. It was post.
Can you name me the year? Oh, okay, post 2020. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Let's see.
No clue.
You're gonna kick yourself, Tanner. I know that.
I know I'm gonna.
I don't remember this being a homecoming game. I mean, yeah, I don't remember this being homecoming.
Just give it to me. I can't think.
2022 beat FAU barely.
Ah, Austin Burton game.
Yep.
Yep. So the night game.
So the rundown. So to recap, we've probably been 6-8. I thought we were better. I didn't realize how bad homecoming games were. I knew it was bad, but obviously
we've had a lot of bad football in the last.
So 2010, years. We beat Minnesota, which was also the Robbie Hummel second knee injury day.
Yeah. We beat him in 2011. Was homecoming Minnesota, right?
It was Illinois. According to Wikipedia, okay. This is all Wikipedia.
Okay.
So 2010. Okay. What beat Minnesota, 2011 beat Illinois, 2012 lost to Wisconsin, 2013 lost to Northern Illinois, 2014 lost to Iowa, 2015 lost to Illinois, 2016 lost to Iowa, 2017.
That got him fired. That was Hazel's last game.
Yep.
2017 lost to Michigan. That was like Brahms' first like
that was big a tough one. Game. Yeah.
That was a tough one. Yeah.
They was were that the one they threw the chair down and said, let's
yep.
go?
Yeah. Yep. Like Breeze was in town because they were honoring Tiller. Yeah,
we threw the pass to David Blau that he ran like 20 yards to start the game. It was a trick play. Yeah.
It was like, that was like the first game that I didn't go to the Ohio game that year, but I remember that game. I was like, man, Ross State is, we're back and we lost. 2018 beat Boston College, 2019 beat Maryland, 2020 no
game. Astronaut game.
Yep. 2021 lost to Minnesota, 22 beat FAU, 23 beat Illinois. That was Walter's first year. And then last year we lost to Nebraska.
21 against Minnesota was that. I remember I was at a friend's wedding out in Connecticut, so I had to watch it on my phone. And it was in the rain, and we wore those hideous gray jerseys.
Yep.
Or did we wear gold? No, we were gold ones. Gold ones that day.
It was
day.
The gold, yeah. But it was the rain, ones, so it was cracked on the shoulder. Jeff Brom's nemesis, the weather.
Yeah. he did it again. Brom special Friday night over the U. Yep.
Pick them to lose this week. I don't know who they got. I'm sure we'll cover
Boston College. If they lose to Boston College, my God. It's not going good for Bill O'Brien there.
Yeah. If they lose to Boston College, it might actually ramp up the Brom to Florida rumors.
Or Brom to Penn State rumors all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's heck? One. Yeah.
I don't think he'll leave Louisville, but.
No. All this to avoid talking about the Northwestern game.
Well, well, let's get on. So it is Tuesday now. It's, you know, we're 3 days removed from the just underwhelming, disappointing, frustrating game. I mean, I'm glad we didn't do a podcast Saturday evening because there's a good chance I might have went off on a few people. not you guys, but just people in general. Mm-hmm. I've calmed down since then, but I think my frustration comes like, of course, the Indiana success isn't helping. Even Notre Dame having success isn't helping, even though they're good anyways, but there's just more fans that I know, chirping. And I just don't want to be a school that's only good at one sport, but it's looking more and more like it's going to be that way for a long time.
We're good at volleyball.
Yeah.
Okay. Mad respect for Dave Shundell, but football, basketball. That's what I'm talking about. Your top revenue sports.
If you're talking major revenue stuff, correct.
Yes, but that's.
We've been abysmal for a decade and a half.
We weren't abysmal under Jeff Brohm.
Okay, you're talking about a short time period over a decade.
You said a decade and a half. He was there 6 years.
That's still not, half a decade and a half.
But I mean, he Yeah, he had some stinkers, don't get me right, but for the most part, his air went pretty good. I mean, 19 was rough, 2020 was rough. That was a dumb season, but the other years were fun. I mean, I'm not calling for Barry Odom's head by any means. That's what got me fired up. That's what got me fired up. There's people online already giving up on the coaching stuff 7 games into season one.
Yeah.
What do you expect? Like, okay, yeah. Saturday was a big step backwards, I will say. It reminded me of last year.
Yeah. I think part of it, too, is just, you know, part of it plays into it, you know, what we saw with Cignetti last year. Of like, it's like, well, if they can do it, like, they're not even a football school. Like, why can't we do it? It's like, well, one, I mean, it's so much had to go right for that stupid scenario to happen. Like, obviously, hell of a coach. He brought in a staff that's been with him like for a decade, which I did not know that until recently. You know, we talk about the schedule. You know, they had, you know, 3 cream puffs to start the year, but then you play your 1 game as Ohio
State. They're going
to
every year, but they're a powerhouse. They're elite. Yeah. But we're going to play Kennesaw State. And
yeah, you know, you catch like Michigan on a down year. You caught Michigan on a down year. Like, everybody else kind of sucked. But it worked out. And it set, I think, a lot of unfair expectations for a lot of first year power four coaches, especially, I mean, here, just because of, like, again, it's like, you know, they're not even a football school and they can do that. Like, why can't we do it? You know, we're the one who actually has some history outside of Notre Dame, obviously, but like between the two of us. But again, Notre Dame's on the schedule. That's going to be tough to do. And again, it's just like, again, when you have, it's the right, so much had to go right. And it did. I can't believe it's still going right. But like, when you have that staff that's been together for that long and you bring that many players over, you know, it helps a lot, obviously a lot, but I think that plays part of it too. But yeah, the whole, like, I'm far from giving up on Odom and staff.
Boys, we can't afford it.
Well,
that too.
No, and then that's part of it too. And I understand the argument from fans that are frustrated like that. Purdue's going to have to find a way to get money, change the system, change how they do things.
I would also say you don't want to sit here and have turnover. You don't want to be the Tennessee Titans. Right.
No, you don't.
Of college football and fire people over and over again. I mean, if anyone needs to be pointing the finger at themselves, it's Babinski and Grimes.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I agree with you 100%.
They're the only continuity. There's all this. And they're the 100%. Only ones that can point the fingers at each other.
Yeah.
Odom and the staff are doing everything they can. We all watch the videos for the press conference. I don't think they have an answer because they've never had the – do something like Barry said he did in regards to Memphis, Missouri, Arkansas, but it's like, I don't think you did it to the level of like this.
And it was a different era too.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the only way this is going to work is you're going to have to go find under recruited guys that are going to be committed to this and go out and play and develop in the program that you know aren't going to leave. That's the only way this is going
to
work.
Yeah. Or find ways, like Tanner said, you got to find more ways to get money, whether it's
– I'm sorry, guys. I went through notable alumni for this week's blind rankings. We ain't finding a pot of gold.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms ain't at the end of our alumni list. Sorry to tell you.
Yeah. There's ways I've seen, like, you know, like, I mean, I think a big topic that I've seen on the boards is, like, you know, Purdue has always touted themselves as a self-sufficient athletic department. I think that needs to go at this day and age when you're in this big of an arms race, if you want to be serious about it. I saw a report today that showed that, like, Indiana gives like $34 million like from the school to their athletic department, which is absurd. It kind of pisses me off as an Indiana taxpayer that my dollars are going there.
don't do any since we're self.
Yeah.
My dad was telling me that yesterday. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was great under, you know, Burke and earlier Babinski. It's like, you know, hey, let's just not require any sort of, you know, funding from the school, but it's a different, it's everything's changed. As we've seen since in the last 5 years, things have changed so much and you got to put up or shut up.
I think it will change because of the private equity coming in. The private equity money is going to change.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money they're throwing out to all these schools. I mean, there's going to have to be rules and regulations moving forward as well.
Should have been already.
Yeah.
The NCAA is, I'm sorry, it's a trash organization.
Oh my god! Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it completely is, and unfortunately, now Cignetti is the highest state employee in Indiana, which is mind blowing.
Which honestly, I mean, that usually happens. Like I remember a couple of years ago, I saw there was like it was a map of the United States, and it was like showing the highest paid public employee, and it was like Saban was in Alabama, but yeah, so it's not surprising. It's like whatever the biggest school is, their football coach is normally the one, but it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
But we don't want to get in an area that like we're paying a Jimbo Fisher buyout.
right.
And I spoke about that yesterday on one of my other podcasts. I said, if I'm an LSU fan, even though most of them want Brian Kelly gone, if I was an LSU fan, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to have to pay $50 million or whatever it is for my coach not to coach. He is employed to figure it out. Okay, get rid of his staff and be like, you got to figure this out. And make them figure it out. I hate that I know that's the way the world is, especially our country. But I hate how like Penn State can just get rid of James Franklin, who was a pretty good coach there, for $50 million to not coach. It's like, no, they should look at the guy and be like, we're paying you a lot of money. We're not paying to fire you. You figure it out.
Yeah,
but teams just don't want to do that.
But I think also, the problem is when you have like the big boosters who are threatening to, withhold their donations, which,
and
who knows? And
that's the difference here. Now, I don't blame anyone on Odom's staff. I mean, you thought you had the guys ready. I blame the people up top in leadership. I mean.
And the players too, honestly, on Saturday anyways. Like,
oh yeah, Saturday. I blame everybody on Saturday. I thought everything was bad.
Get a player ready, and you know, it's up to the players to go out and execute.
I mean, I'll admit, looking at that stadium on TV, it looks like a high school environment. I'm like, it would be hard to get juiced up, but my God, did we look flat.
I don't know. I mean, just the fact that you know it's like realistic. I mean, their mentality may be different, obviously, because they're actually playing, but it's like knowing that this is one of your last chances to get like a legit win outside of like, it's like, I don't know how you don't get fired up for that opportunity.
But I mean,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, Aaron. Go ahead.
I was going to say that Northwestern team, though, from turmoil with Fitzgerald's first time being back since he was being fired on Saturday. None of that was a distraction. They just went out and balled and got the job done.
They have Purdue's number. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I mean, they've owned Purdue the last 15 years and 20 years. And, like, I don't know, because you can't tell me Purdue doesn't have more talent than Northwestern. That's what's frustrating. And I think it all goes back to the start of the game. Our defense was on the field forever. Couldn't get off the field. And then we go 3 and out. Right back on the field. Exhausted, that just can't happen. That just can't happen. And that was just the first step of, oh my gosh, it's gonna be a long day. I mean, it was 19-0. Purdue's blanked yet again, fourth time in the last 10 Big Ten games, which is just nauseating. But it was worse than that. The game was worse than 19-0.
Yeah,
and our starting quarterback just hurt.
And I'll say this, time possession-wise, we rank 107th in the nation.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. Like, you look at these stats, and, like, some of the stats, you're like, wow. I mean, we border out on a mid, you know, grade team that should go 500. And then you just see the turnovers, you see the penalties, you see time of possession. You see all these things that you're just like, what in the world? Like, third down defense percentage, we're in the top 60? It's like we can get off the field, but then we turn around and just we can't get right move the ball.
Right. I thought the play calling was pretty bad Saturday before Singleton came in. I know that changes everything. Even then, though, there was a few calls. I'm like, man, that was predictable.
Tom's question this week to Henson was good. What is the identity of this offense?
I went back and said, and he pretty much said that. Yeah, he kind of said that without saying that, pretty much. Yeah, I mean he
mumbled it around and tried to
no consistency. Pretty much, he said we're not consistent. That's the identity. I mean, inconsistency, which is not what you want to hear. I don't know. you know, I know we're missing a few guys, but I don't think it'd make that much difference. But maybe it would, like, in the red zone area. You know, Dylan Island more said it's been seven games. We haven't seen him yet. George Burnham,
yeah,
who's supposed to be our best player. It's been on shelf since the second half of Notre Dame. Don't know when or if he's coming back. I mean, I know Rico Walker and the other tight ends try, but, man, without Burnham, it might be the worst tight end room I've seen as a Purdue fan.
Yeah.
And that's just a killer. I mean, I don't know. It just, even when Purdue did good things, they shot themselves in the foot Saturday, whether it was penalties, whether it was turnovers, like Corey Smith catching a bomb, then fumbling.
Just immediately. Yeah.
Once again, they can't get out of their own way. And
I was good to hear that. To say that we don't teach that, though, switching the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're teaching the right fundamentals. I don't think we got a crew that wants to really listen besides a few of them.
Well, we'll probably see a decent amount leave again after this year, which I was kind of expecting the whole time. And hopefully after that, every year it starts, you know, sustaining itself a little bit.
The worst part is we're wasting Manny Powell out there. That would be a huge difference maker.
20 tackles the other day.
Yeah.
And a forced fumble.
Yeah. Yeah. He played well.
Well, Shear said he expects more out of him. And I'm like, what do you want the guy to do?
I don't know what else him and Craig can do.
Yeah.
The defensive line's inconsistent pressure. You can't.
Oh, they got manhandled Saturday after manhandling Minnesota. Both of our lines stunk Saturday.
I don't know where you go because I think you're going to keep getting these rentals unless you start putting boots to the ground in high school ranks and knowing where these are the guys that, hey, we're going to have to get you better and we're going to have to groom you. And then all these, you know, transfer portal guys that come in are going to be more, hey, stop gap. Let's see what we have. Are these guys ready that we're recruiting from high school?
I think that's
turnover from high school.
I think that's their vision, but that's how many times do you have a kid that's a freshman that's Big Ten ready to play, especially on the line? Right. Hardly ever at Purdue, at least. So
I can only think of two that we've done.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
And we're not even getting the best kids out on the line in our state. That's the thing.
We're not going to beat Indiana for a lot of recruits right now. So
no, high school coaches are going to lean towards Cignetti and, like, hey, you're going to get brand awareness. You're going to be able to compete for championships, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if assuming they finish the season strong and don't collapse or anything, it'll be interesting to see if their blueprint, if their footprint expands. You know, Indiana's always just recruited Indiana in the Midwest pretty much, maybe a little Florida, but see if it expands more nationally now that they're getting more exposure. So, I don't know. It's tough. I mean, we know Purdue's a tough job to win at, but it's doable. We've seen it, but it's challenging. And now, you know, we look at this Saturday's game, homecoming versus Rutgers, a team that's not playing good football, team that's lost four in a row, team that got absolutely killed by Oregon, a team that has the worst defense statistically in the Big Ten. You would like to think Purdue's got a chance, good chance, but Purdue's underdogs, playing with probably most likely their backup quarterback starting for the first time in his career. But I hate saying it, but it's probably Purdue's last decent chance to win. I mean, November's a gauntlet. As of right now, you're playing the top two teams in the country. You're playing another one that's top 25. And by the time the game rolls around, Washington might be ranked in top 25 if they beat Illinois this week.
Bruce Stevens, the coordinator, is the coach you fired, and is going to have a chip on his shoulder ready.
100%. Yeah, he won't want to win. He won't want to win that or nothing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's just frustrating. Like, I was hoping for – it sounds bad, but I was hoping for 4-8 start of season. Knowing we're probably not going to get there is a tough pill to swallow, especially dropping that Minnesota one, looking back on it. But
especially after them beating Nebraska.
Yep. And they have a winnable game against Iowa this week. So hopefully Purdue comes out ready to play Saturday. I mean, I just want to see, you know, Odom said we had the best practice of the year Monday. Hopefully that's not just coach speak. Hopefully he's being genuine and sincere when he says that. So I don't know, boys. I don't know. I'm fired up for all the wrong reasons, probably.
Is there anything else I mean, before we kind of close, is there anything else we want to talk about that Northwestern game?
Well, any helmet stickers? Might be a tough one, but
I think Manny Powell's the only one that deserves one through and through.
I think Singleton, just because of he came in and didn't like. I thought he threw some good balls. I thought he did a decent job given the situation. You know, like that fumble was on Smith. I thought it was a great pass. That's probably who I would give it to. Given you took it, you gave it to Manny. That's probably about it.
I'll give it to Smiley Bradford for having a pick, even though he dropped one earlier in the game.
Yeah.
Maybe this will give us good luck. I'll bring the helmet back for the helmet stickers. You know, it hasn't helped at all. So it's a very, I have a small head and it's a very tight fit. So no. It's supposed to be for decoration, not to wear. It hits by the,
not with that attitude.
Where is it on here? I don't even know.
You got to go full homecoming.
Oh, it's by that right there. That's not on actual helmets.
Well, you're not going into play. You're just wearing it.
Yeah, we're not doing that. Nope. But yeah, this is a game I want to forget about, like many Northwestern matchups anymore. I'm so sick of them scheduling Purdue to be like the final games for basketball arenas, football stadiums. It never ends well. Because did you guys realize we were their last game in original Ryan Field as well?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, 2 years ago. And this year they're going to play the next two games in Wrigley. And in basketball, I think we were one of their last. I don't know. I don't know about that. They beat us too many times over there in basketball when we're ranked high. It gets my blood boiling. So, yeah, but let's move on. Let's get into your blind rankings, Lynch. I've been looking forward to this all day. I've been looking forward to this really all season on the podcast because you've hyped this up. So don't let us down.
I'm not letting us down. So give me 1 second. I want to move some screens around for us. This blind ranking is probably – it's completely out of left field. Evan didn't want to do it earlier in the year. So we're pulling out of the hopper for this one. So – we want to recognize those Boilermaker alumnus that we don't recognize on this show tonight that aren't athletes, that aren't astronauts.
Oh, dang it.
Yep. You all thought Neil was going to be on this list.
No, I knew he would. I knew it was going to be some obscure, like, five alumni. I'm going to have to ask who, like, what did they
tonight, contribute? Boys. Thank I got goodness, descriptions
because I'm going to need them.
And I got most of them. I have the classes associated where when they graduated as well. So how I want you to rank these is more, less their contribution to society or how you personally think. I mean, and I'll start with a layup on number one, who I think he needs a building at Purdue. I think he needs a statue at Purdue. He's been gone for a while, and that's Orville Redenbacher.
One. Easy, done, one.
Can I give our viewers a little?
Yes.
So
Orville loves popcorn.
Oh yeah,
I know you do. Class of 1928. So we're kind of
holy under. Cow!
Or... I didn't realize he was that. Wow.
Yep. So
I wonder how many buildings were on campus in 1928?
Six. And a half.
This guy.
The quad was probably one of them, baby. The quad.
This guy literally needs a statue or something. Like it boggles my mind.
Statue in my backyard.
We got one downtown Valpo here, so he's more known here than there's a statue downtown of Orville. So he was known as the man with the signature white wavy hair, oversized bow tie, and a shrewd agricultural scientist who experimented with seed hybrids. He began his career selling fertilizer here in Indiana, but spent spare time working with popcorn, and that's what he was known for. When he made it commercialized, it was hybrid. A little history about Orville Redenbacher. So, Webby, you've already said one. Tanner, where are you ranking?
Popcorn is a big part of my diet, so.
I'll put it at two just because I don't want to. I had popcorn last night, so I like a good bowl of popcorn. It's a good snack. Heck, sometimes it could be a dinner for me if I'm too lazy.
If he didn't commercialize those hybrids and this invention, you all wouldn't be eating popcorn as regularly as you do.
Not his.
No, I mean, he sold it. It's a generic seed hybrid.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, good point.
1928. Right. Wow, that's crazy. When did he pass away?
He passed away in the late 90s. Not in his hot tub of a heart attack.
Oh.
Rest in peace, Orville.
Yes, sir.
This would be my number one, guys. Well, no, this would be our number two. Herman Cain. Oh, my God. So Herman Cain was graduating the class in 1971. Most people remember him for his 2012 presidential campaign against Mitt Romney. But Herman was known also for being the chairman of the board of the Omaha branch of the Federal Reserve Bank, Kansas City, from January 1st, 1989 to 91. And then from 96 to 99, he served as CEO of the National Restaurant Association, a trade group lobbying organization for restaurant industry standards, where he was previously a board director on. So Herman's done a lot for society in regards to restaurants, ran an office, been in the political landscape, passed away in 2020. So rest in peace, Herman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He died of COVID.
Yep.
Just because I'm guessing there's some other ones there, and I just really don't care. I'm going to go five.
I'll put him at four.
No respect for this man.
It's a blind ranking. We don't know who's coming up. All these people have contributed to society.
So I was trying to find some females, too, on this. I couldn't really find any. Like, Kathy Ireland was the one I was getting, but I was like, did she go to Purdue? I couldn't find anything about that. Yeah. Do you either know what Kathy Ireland is?
I've heard the name.
Okay, she was an SI swimsuit model.
I'm disappointed in myself that I didn't know that.
and she owns a fashion business too. So, like, I was trying to put her on here, but I couldn't find the year she graduated.
I'm going to see if I recognize her. K or C? I don't want to get this wrong.
Okay. And then Ireland spelled as Ireland, the country. Okay. While you're doing that, we'll go to number three, Robert C. Baker. He earned his doctorate at Purdue, and it was so long ago I can't find the actual class. So he is most well known for the inventor of the chicken nugget.
Do it. You know it. You know you want to.
I Henry, do like my nuggets.
If popcorn's a staple of his diet, I know nuggets.
Oh, you're not wrong. Yeah, I got to put it at one. I had a variation of a chicken nugget today. It wasn't a chicken nugget, but it's a variation of one. So, yep.
Oh, you can say, you can thank Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
I'll go three. I'll go three.
Put it three just to piss Lynch off, but I that one.
You would be lying to yourself. You wouldn't be pissing me off.
That's true. What do have left? Five and?
Yeah, one.
Three. One, five and three.
Yeah, five and three. Evan, I think two and four. Okay. This one's probably be one of yours up for two. I hope I'm saying his right name. He was at school when we were in school. So,
Mas Giorgino.
Thank you. I could not get it.
Yes. I've met him. He's awesome. He's incredible. I didn't know he was a grad.
Yes, he was an undergrad, and he got a doctorate when we were there.
Yeah, he should be my number one.
You want to talk about his history?
Yeah, yes, I feel really dumb right now. So.
No, you'll understand why here in a second. So he has he's a punk rocker. So he founded and owned Sonic Iguana Studios in Lafayette. He did early albums for bands like Rise Against, Anti-Flag. Most notably, I think he did a little Alkaline Trio. Tanner, he has done work with, he was in a band called Squirt Gun. It was a really good punk band. He helped out with a band called Screeching Weasel as well in some capacity. He's worked with Green Day in various capacities. Yep. Short little antidote. So Tanner, when you and I went to the show, the Green Day show in 2013, the next week, So every Friday I used to go to a Spanish conversation table what was the language arts building?
Hevelon.
Well, was it Hevelon? Right next to Class of 50, essentially.
No, that's not Hevelon. That was,
what is it?
I had my Portuguese class there.
Yeah. Yeah. I threw out my Spanish.
The building down anyway. Stewart, right?
Kind of. It was across from Witherall.
Oh god,
yeah. Anyways, every Friday they would hold a Spanish conversation table where you could come in. It was a lot of like TAs. It was like people from the Spanish department would come in and just kind of hang out for, you kind of come and go, but it was a chance for students to come in and practice speaking Spanish with people who were native or were really good at it with your, I would do it like with my teachers at the time and like fellow students. But the Friday after Tanner and I saw Green Day in Illinois with one of our other good friends, this guy sits next to me and we're chatting. And then he just looks at I was wearing the shirt that I bought at the show. And he goes, "Oh, Green Day. Yeah, I know them." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." And he's like, "No, like I know them." And I was like, "No, what are you talking about?" And then he just started like talking about what he did and like how he worked with all these guys. And then he's like, "What else does he do?" I gave him my iPod and he was like going through all these bands. Like, "Oh yeah, I've worked with them. He tried calling the singer of Anti-Flag to let him know that he was
talking. How did you not best friend this guy right on the spot?
Oh, we did. Yeah. I ended up using, so a couple years later when I was in a band in college, we recorded, so I didn't know that Purdue had an actual recording studio, and he had donated one of his amps. And on our recording that we did for another student's project, I got to use Moss's amps. And shout out to Moss, each other on Instagram. He's awesome. I think he lives in Italy now. He just did a whole thing. I go on and on, but he's done so much for the punk community and punk music. Yeah, he should be my number one, but he's my number two. Moss Giorgino.
No,
yeah.
Popcorn's number one.
Well, I will put him number three.
Yeah,
put him number three.
I didn't know he went to Purdue. I knew he because he would teach. That's how I knew him, but I didn't know because I know his parents were Italian, I think, but I know he lives in Italy now, I believe.
Yeah, so he graduated undergrad, and then I don't know where he did his master's and stuff, but it showed he's a PhD. In 2014, he graduated with us.
Yeah, he speaks multiple languages. Yeah, he's a lot older than us, obviously, being correct. Where he, you know, worked in the 90s.
Tanner, he was in our commencement.
No, but I was like, when he was talking to me, I was like, this is my new best friend.
So
great pull, Lynch.
I knew I had to put that one on. He's done a lot. He actually had a TED Talk, I remember.
Yes, he did. He told me about it, and I watched it like that day. I was euphoric the rest of the day. I was just like, I can't believe this is my life right now.
Tanner, where do you rate him?
I rate him at three, so I got my number five left.
Okay. This would be my number one. Brian Lamb.
Gosh, dang it. Jackass. Yeah.
Class of 1963. Right, one did. Yes. Founder.
I graduated from his school. Brian Lamb School of Communications. Dang it. Right when we started to list, I'm like, oh, Brian Lamb's probably gone. We're going through it. And I completely just forgot. Dang it.
I put it there. So anyone that know, he is a founder, executive chairman, now retired CEO of C-SPAN. So he gives us a visibility into the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, which aren't doing much anymore right now, but he was the one that put that on TV and monetized it.
Well, even the school of communications, I mean, it's still not on the level of some of the other state schools of communications, but it's got a lot better since it became the Brian Lamb School of Communications. It's prestige has risen a little bit, so, yeah.
Would you guys re-rank them?
Yes.
Yeah, I still got to go with Nugget one, but
I would just put my one and two. I got Brian Lamb at four. Yeah, just from a personal standpoint, yeah. But yeah, I'd flip my one and two.
Then I put Lamb at two, Orville at three. I'm a big alternative rock, and I like punk music too. But I feel like since I didn't even know the guy, I can't rank him that high. So four, and then Mr. King at five.
No love for Herman on this podcast.
Good list. Good.
Very good. That was entertaining. That lived up to the hype.
What was your notes for Moss? Out of curiosity.
No, that you hit them all. You hit every single one of them. So I was like,
right off his head, too.
Yeah, off the dome.
That's what was impressive. I was like, man, I don't have to jog your memory at all. I didn't know if you were going to remember the TED Talk from 2014 with him.
I remember watching. But I forgot about him. Yeah, I think he had like just it was yeah a little bit later. But yeah, he was a cool dude. And then yeah, I guess I follow his journey on Instagram. But he just did a project with like re-releasing a bunch of songs with different artists, but yeah, one of the bands, Squirt Gun, he was in, was a really good band. Just good if you just like straight up, you know, 90s punk. It's perfect.
That's a cool name too.
Yeah.
We did have a question on YouTube when we started our blind rankings. I want to get to from Jason here.
Before we start, I want to just layer this on for folks. Why we don't have the NIL money was this list was pretty, like, I was going in it. I mean, most of every one of Purdue's alums, when you find notable, someone named Zach Edey was in the top 10. And I was like, okay, like, this is getting bad. Like, it's either astronauts.
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees was 2.
Yeah.
And he's already donated quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, Neil's number 1. I was surprised Buzz was further down than he was, but you know, this is why we are, because I mean, there's not many space races anymore and we don't have a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Well, golf got a nice donation a few years ago, so never know. Never know.
Largest in athletic.
Mm-hmm. But Pete and Alice are gone.
I know.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, a lot of these people are gone.
Yeah. There's no Phil Knight, Mark Cubans of the world, or Jerry Jones, Tyson Food, Walmart.
This is before Tanner reads this question. Any Purdue students, alumnus listening to this, the only way this gets better is with us.
Yeah.
It truly is. I mean,
when this podcast takes off, man, I am giving everything.
and I'm not a good person to talk about this. I've been a John Purdue Club member for the past handful of years, maybe even more than that. But I let it lapse in July and I haven't re-upped because I know it still pays for the scholarships, but I'm like, I feel like I need to be supporting NIL somehow instead of the John Purdue Club. But I don't know. There's a lot of questions out there. I don't know.
The new IRS tax brackets are coming out, have came out for 2026. So anyone listening to this podcast, go look at it. If you make over it and you don't want your income tax to that percent, whatever income bracket you're at, donate to the NIL fund, John Purdue Club. And
there you go.
Not this podcast, though.
I mean,
if you want.
No, we're not dealing with those.
Jason here on YouTube said, if the NIL situation does not improve for football, Purdue will be evicted from the Big Ten. The conference is not going to keep schools with losing football programs. So Big 12, ACC, MAC.
Not if this venture or private equity happens, because that wasn't the whole thing of like it essentially locks everybody in for like another 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It would be out to 2040, so it's not, we wouldn't be going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Logan Hop here on YouTube. At least we're better than Wisconsin. Wish we could play them this year and break the streak. you would like to think we would.
Yeah.
But we'd probably lose by 17 and feel even worse about ourselves. So, yeah.
Daniel O'Neal would throw for 5 touchdowns.
I can't believe they've come out with backing Fickell and saying they're going to put more money in the I still want to see how the next rest of the season goes. But if they go 2-10, can you really bring him back?
Yes.
I've Big Ten games, they've scored 20 points total because they've been blank. Just boring football.
The reason you can bring him back is because the guy has a track record. He showed he's won. And he's made mistakes here. And it's true he has. But he should never brought in an air raid system at Wisconsin. That's
they did lose their starting quarterback to start the year, though, too.
Yeah, so yeah, he sucks anyways. But... if he does come back, his seat's as hot as hot can be. He's the number one name on the hot seat starting next year. But yeah, we do get them at home next year. Our Big Ten schedule next year is Maryland, Minnesota, Washington, Wisconsin at home, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Penn State, UCLA on the road. So no Ohio State, no Michigan, no Oregon next year.
But we get whoever Penn State could be, which it could be Joe Brady. It could be a number of guys.
Right. They'll hire somebody good or a big name at least. So, yep. So, all right, let's go through the Big Ten and pick some games. And then we'll We'll come back around and talk about Purdue's, and then we'll talk about Purdue's basketball exhibition on Friday. UCLA, hot team in the Big Ten right now, won three straight, but they traveled to number two Indiana. Can't believe that I'm saying that. Who is a 25.5 point favorite? Fox Big Noon.
How is this a big noon game?
Yeah, UCLA is screwed in that regard. Yeah, Indiana covers that easily.
They did not cover versus Michigan State.
That's true, they didn't.
Child played with their food a little bit for half. First half. Yeah,
Giles played pretty decent that game.
Yeah, I think Indiana was this one that covers, though.
You mean Jerry Neuheisel, UCLA?
Straight up in the upset?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I hope you're – I might shriek around my neighbor. No, I'll be at the game. I'll get back home and shriek around my neighborhood.
They have the best player on the team. They have the best player on the field on one side of the ball.
Nico?
Five-star kid.
You think he's better than Mendoza?
No.
He's a better athlete.
Yes.
Yes.
He's a quick go play volleyball. That's what he needs to do.
All right. So this is an interesting one. Got Northwestern, who's 5-2 at 5-2 Nebraska, who's 7.5 point favorites. I think Nebraska gets it done, but it was interesting. You know, last week, a lot of rumors about Rule and Pitt State, and then they came out flat at Minnesota Friday night.
That would just be such an underwhelming hire.
Oh, that'd be awful.
I get like he's a former player and all that stuff, but like, man. He's James Franklin light, I feel like.
The name that's going to come out will be because one of the big donors for Penn State is the Bills owner, and it's going to be Joe Brady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
On that note, give me Nebraska. They ain't losing this game.
Number 23, Illinois, travels to 5-2 Washington, who lost at Michigan. Washington is a 4.5 point favorite. Our friend said this might be Illinois' biggest game in history. Because he thinks if they win, they can run the table, possibly make the playoff.
I think that game was in Bloomington. They kind of don't know. I'm going to take Washington simply just because of who their defensive coordinator is. And he knows, I mean, we saw last 2 years, he this team pretty well or knows the coaching staff's tendency. So I'm going to take Washington just for that X factor of Ryan Walters.
Definitely playing good too for Washington.
Yeah, I think Washington's better. That's a tough place to play. I got Washington.
It's the coolest place to play, I think.
It is pretty cool. Floyd and Rosedale, the trophy for the pig. 5-2 Minnesota, 5-2 Iowa, who is an 8.5 point favorite.
I'm gonna take Minnesota. It's just gonna piss me off because we should have had them.
I'll take Iowa, but they don't cover.
Is this Burns' last year?
No.
If he wants it to be, I mean, they're not gonna fire the guy, but
I don't know. Give me to Minnesota on this one.
All right. Oh, boy. 2-5 Wisconsin at 6-1 number 6 Oregon, who is a 33.5 point favorite.
The question is this going to be Wisconsin's third straight game where they get blanked? that's what I want to know. And I think the answer is yes.
My gosh, you can't bring them back then.
Yeah.
I think this is going to look like an Oregon playing an FBS school again, like they did with Rutgers this past week.
Yeah, I think Oregon's going to smack them around. I think Oregon's as focused as ever now, but too bad it took Indiana beating them to wake up.
Yeah.
Might help them.
Yeah, it definitely could. They might be one of those teams that doesn't make the conference championship but still makes the playoff and makes a run. Look at Ohio State last year.
So if Ohio State loses to Michigan, does Oregon get in?
I could see.
I don't know what the tiebreaker would be. It'd probably be like record against the top X amount of teams, isn't it? Isn't that how it goes?
Or is it CFP ranking at that point?
I don't know. I don't know if they've ever come out with what the guidelines are. They need to.
Because I'd be interested because then you have this weird mix of Ohio State, Oregon not playing each other.
Yeah. No. I don't think Ohio State loses to Michigan, though.
So. Man, that'd be horrible.
Is that
speaking Michigan? Of Michigan, Speaking of Michigan, they're number 25 and 14.5-point favorites at Michigan State.
I need the cover.
Yep. Is John Smith done?
It's not going very well for him. Top 25 matchups. We'll go over just a couple here. Number 8, Ole Miss, who is 6-1 at number 13, 6-1, Oklahoma, who's a 4.5-point favorite. This is kind of a big one. Loser might be out of the playoff type of deal.
Give me Ole Miss. I think they bounce back after that kind of disappointing loss to Georgia where they were winning at one point.
Yep. Same.
I'll take Sooners and Mateer just to be different. Game day. Number 15, Missouri, 6-1 at number 10, 6-1, Vanderbilt, who is a 2.5-point favorite.
Give me Vandy at home.
Diego Pavia is pretty darn good quarterback.
And he's also 35.
He actually reminds me of Johnny Football, just not as crazy.
Yeah, well, he's very, very arrogant, but backs it up.
Also, I wish we would have done Rossi like how Vandy did their state like end zone. I think that is so cool. Have you closed in, like built around the actual Jumbotron?
Who are you taking, Lynch?
Oh, Vandy. I said.
I'll be the difference again. I'll take Missouri. Number 11, BYU, who won the Holy War over Utah. 3.5-point underdogs at 5-2 Iowa State. Yeah. Give me the Cougs. Getting no respect.
Give me the Cougs, yeah.
Yeah, giving the Cougars here. I'm trying to think of their tiebreaker, too, because if they lose, then this Big 12 gets all meshed up with Arizona State now.
Well, don't count out Cincinnati, who's 6-1, ranked 21, hosts 4-3 Baylor. Cincinnati's 4.5-point favorites.
Give me Satterfield.
Cincinnati's only lost is to Nebraska. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost conference game yet.
And that was like game of the year, too.
Yeah, red zone pick.
Neutral site too.
It was in Kansas City.
It's an Arrowhead.
Yeah. Give me Cincy.
Yep. Give me the Bearcats. Number 3, Texas A&M travels number 20, 5-2 LSU. A&M is a 2.5-point favorite in Death Valley.
Wow. Ooh, man, this is a big one for Kelly. Because essentially a loss is a nail in the coffin of any sort of playoff berth.
I think he finally gets a big one. I think he does too.
I think Death Valley, I think, is going to be too much.
Give me Reed and Elko and the boys going in there. I think this could push Reed up in the Heisman votes.
Yeah. Oh, very well could. And 6-1 Houston at number 24, 5-2 Arizona State, who's a 7.5-point favorite.
Give me Arizona State, Dillingham and the boys.
Works up.
You think Dillingham takes one of these jobs? I'm going to take Arizona State too, because I mean,
alum of ASU. Is he an alum?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's an alum, but
man, he is perfect for this new age of college football.
Yes,
he's so young.
That's why I'm wondering if he's going to take one of Florida, Penn State. Someone's going to be sniffing around. Oh, Oklahoma State. Well,
he's going to do incompetent. ASU graduate.
ASU grad.
Okay.
We haven't even seen them all. I mean, Wisconsin still could open up, even though they're saying it's not. Auburn could open up. Florida State's probably going to open up. I mean, the domino effect of this coaching carousel is going to be freaking insane. Yeah. And for all the people complaining already about Barry Odom, for one, I'm glad he's our football coach. And two, I'm glad we're not hiring somebody this year. Mm-hmm. We would have got the bottom of the freaking barrel. And I don't think we did that last year.
I went 9-3 either, because he'd probably be picked.
Yeah, absolutely.
He'd probably go to Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Boilermakers, noon, Big Ten Network, hosting 3-4 Rutgers, who is a 2.5-point favorite. These schools have only met twice, with Rutgers winning both matchups. The first one being in 2017 in a game. Answered my own question from last week, Webby. We outgained them by over 200 yards in 2017 and lost 14-12.
That was
8 years ago today, October 21st. Wow. And we lost. Lynch still talks about this game. 37-30, November 28th, 2020. That's two Rutgers. I remember they had a kick return touchdown that game.
They did.
Yeah.
But still, Plummer shouldn't have been holding on to the ball. How that guy's on an NFL roster still blows my mind.
Since this is probably the last time I'll be able to do this, I'm picking the Boilers. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game. I think it's going to be pretty ugly. So I'm going to go 24-20. Player of the game, I'm going to go Malachi Singleton, given the start, assuming he starts. I'll take that. It's an easy one. Spicy or bold prediction, Purdue has zero turnovers.
That's pretty bold. I was just thinking the other day, like, Ryan Brown, I think he's going to break the streak. Since going back to David Blau in 2016, we haven't had a quarterback start every game of the season. Then he gets hurt. All right. I'm with you, Webby. I was thinking about picking Rutgers, especially because I'm constantly picking Purdue on here and it doesn't work. But I feel like this is legit the last time I'll probably be able to pick them this year. So I'll take Purdue 27-17. Player of the game. Player of the game. I'll go Michael Jackson. And spicy bull prediction. Purdue has three or less penalties. Probably three. I'm probably going at least three, but three or less. Come on, Lynch, it's homecoming.
No, I'm sighing because you took exactly what I was going to say. The only thing you – the problem is your math ain't mathing, so it's 28-17. Because you're saying we're missing an extra point.
Yeah.
A couple field goals.
Yeah, two field goals, three touchdowns.
I don't know if that's – nah. I'm going 28-17.
Hey, kickers miss extra points. Ask the Giants. Thank you.
It's supposed to be windy. Horvath ain't missing, not this weekend.
Okay.
Bold prediction is going to be penalties will probably be three or less, and they're going to not be defensive pass interference penalties. They're going to be holding penalties.
Holding, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, especially running. Yeah.
Well, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be a heavy dose of running the football.
Yeah.
And it's going to be likes to
run.
Mockaby, Singleton, Harris, probably even some sweeps in there.
Get Mock out on screens. That was working the other day. Get more of that.
Correct.
It's the only thing that worked.
That's where I'm going to go with my player of the game here. I think he did a great job in Minnesota. I would hope they want to continue with him. I'm going Purvis.
All right. At least not Jack McAllister. You know, one of these weeks he's got to find out who the gunner is in special teams and gunner, the long snapper, the holder.
I think he's going to have some clean poles and there's going to be some big holes and it's going to be some pancake opportunities.
All right. I like it.
He said have all three penalties.
Yep. Sorry, Hank. Any other thoughts before we switch gears real quick?
Football, no. I mean, yeah. Last chance. I mean, I hate saying that, but I mean, just kind of I think our best chance of this is probably at Washington, and that's slim. So,
yeah.
You don't think there's a chance in the Big House?
Not night.
Not night, no.
Might be a cold. Lot like 2023 no was. Show up.
What?
Might be cold. No one wants to show up. They might only have 80,000.
Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, that'll be a fun game to talk about next week. All right. Purdue basketball unofficially starts, I guess, kind of unofficially, officially. Yep. Friday night, 6 o'clock on the SEC Network, if anybody wants to watch. Number one, Purdue at number 9, Kentucky in Rupp Arena. I believe this is the only time we've played Kentucky in our lifetime.
No, I
nope.
Think
so. Oh, my God.
It was Foreman had – let me find this.
Okay. Sabo since we've been watching. or can remember.
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right.
I think because he had his game notes. Let me pull it up real quick. So it doesn't count, but this will be the first meeting since December 3rd, 1997.
Okay, so we were 5-4.
Yeah.
No, we all would have been 5. We all would have been 5.
Yeah, number 7, Kentucky, top number 6 Boilermakers, 89-75 in the Great 8 in Chicago. Mm.
This is the first time we played at Rupp Arena, though.
We played there in the 98 NCAA tournament, but I don't know about playing Kentucky there.
Not counting the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I wish it was 7 o'clock tip instead.
Yeah, I forgot it was 6. That's tough.
Yeah, it is.
I say I don't care. I know. I'm sure I'll watch it. And the place should be pretty.
Yeah,
should be pretty sweet, which is good. I mean, if anything, just gets us ready for at Bama for third game of the season.
Yes.
I think really I'm looking for in this game is obviously no injuries.
First and foremost. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't look like complete garbage. Hopefully see some shots go in and just kind of get the, you know, I hate saying it, but, you know, we kind of know what we got with the big three already. Let's see what, and even like Jakari and CJ, those guys are obviously well established already, but curious to see how the newcomers, you know, how Jacobson looks back after missing a whole year, how Clough looks against legit competition. It'll be a good test because competition, so I think he's going to feast against, you know, some of the smaller schools, but against the Big Ten play, and then obviously guys like Omer, and then like how does Benter factor in? I think it's one of those things where also there's no fouls. I'm curious to see how both coaches approach like the game. So I remember a couple years ago at Arkansas, or plate was like second off the bench or something crazy. They did like platoon swap, so you kind of knew like, right, okay, this is not a serious game, but Arkansas play like it was the Sweet 16. And they were so happy when they won. So I'm curious to see how both coaches go about like their substitutions, like that kind of thing. But I'm excited. I mean, basketball is back. So just as long as everybody stays healthy and just as long as you learn from it, I'm not really too worried about a loss. If anything, I almost kind of hope for it just to piss his painter off. Because this team has obviously had a lot of praise all offseason. So he'll need whatever he can
do. That's worked the last 2 years. The losses have worked the last 2 years in these. So
yeah. And I don't think, I mean, especially with the three guys, I don't think the offseason praise will really. I feel like it doesn't affect these guys. I hope it doesn't, knock on wood, because they've already been through so much. Because we're in such a different place than we were, you know, 5 years ago, where being ranked number one was such a massive, you know, big deal. And now it's, you know, we're obviously very lucky, but it's okay. Cool. Go earn it. Like it's, I remember I was talking to somebody today and they're asking me like, are you nervous that they're ranked number one? I was like, no, I'm just excited. Like if this was 5 years ago, I'd have been like, oh my God, like I'm gonna be shaking in my boots. Cause I'm just like worried about, you know, not meeting the moment, but I'm just like, let's just get it going.
Yeah, I think that's, and I know you stressed this 2 years ago, Webby, all year long on the podcast, and you're right, because we went to the national championship and we're runner-up. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the season. Don't take it for granted, especially in this era of college athletics. Things can flip so fast. I mean, luckily, I think, you know, with Matt Painter, I don't think that's going to happen, but I still dread the day he doesn't want to do it anymore. Cause, I mean, I think he's going to set Purdue up for future success. No matter who his successor is, but you just never know. It can flip so fast and things can change, regulations, blah, blah, blah. So let's just enjoy it. I mean, I know we keep saying, oh, we're never going to see another player like this person walk through the door. Then it happens. But this senior class is pretty darn special. This team should be pretty special. I don't think we've ever seen Purdue have depth that this team has. I
mean, we said that like 2 years ago, too.
I know. Matt said on the For Pete's Sake podcast, he has 12 guys who could play.
Yeah.
But he goes, I have a hard enough time playing 10. He goes, 9's kind of my sweet spot. So keep that in the back of your minds, everybody. And he wanted fans to hear that.
Yes.
So they stop freaking out because, you know, some people are probably going to be pissed that they don't have a lot of playing time. But hopefully guys are making sacrifices for the greater good of the team for wins. And as long as everybody stays healthy, it should be a hell of a fun season for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Again, let's temper expectations. That's the next bit.
It's
going to be a crazy environment. But again, don't care.
No, right. I mean, I think we could see maybe Riley Burgess playing. He's probably got redshirt. I mean, yep. we Mass could do that sort of stuff. I mean, it counts in 2 weeks against Evansville, but still be a good test. I'd rather play them than Marion. So
who played them?
Yeah, I don't know, some school that just likes cupcakes for non-conference, no matter what sport we're talking. So but it'll be fun. I probably won't watch much of it live, but I'll at least catch it on replay or record it.
I will say this now: let's not freak out about a loss.
Oh,
it's gonna happen.
You mean Friday, or you mean just in general?
In general, and
on Friday. Oh, yeah.
Losses are gonna come.
I'm waiting for the losing. We lose that Bama by and people are just like, well, I knew it. It's gonna happen for people, but I'm so excited.
The sky's not falling, and I guarantee their practice by practice, their focus probably on up there is win the Big Ten.
Sure.
They haven't.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be striving for that. Then next thing would be it's progression in regards to the process. They're attacking this.
Well, yeah, Braden and Fletcher and Trey know what it takes to win the Big Ten. They did it 2 years ago. So, that's a good step. If you win the Big Ten, you're going to be in the mix. Big Ten's a good enough conference. It's just like you brought up last week, Aaron, for whatever reason, hadn't won a national title in 25 years. So hopefully Purdue can be the team to break that this year. But
At first, you got to win the Big Ten.
Sure.
If not, it's going to be a hard, hard road to Luke Soil.
Yeah. Yeah, you win the Big Ten, you're going to be slotted really good for seeding. So, yep. So, let's see.
Is there any recruits coming to the game this weekend? I'm about to ask.
I didn't see anything. Usually it's kind of posted on Friday.
Yeah. Got a 3-star wide receiver last week.
Yeah, we did. Supposedly a burner, too, which is awesome. Yeah. It's in 2027.
First 2027. Like, yeah, as he gets stick, but
right,
got to start somewhere. So
yeah.
I think he's going to stick because I did go out and find the stats, folks. So you think we're firing Barry and the staff? You might as well just keep on tuning out.
Yeah,
this ain't happening.
Yeah,
we're still paying Walter's buyout, which is $9.5 million from December 2024 all the way to December 2027 each month. Plus whatever the staff was. Odom's buyout was $25 million. If we fired him this year, there ain't no way.
No, he's on board for at least 3 years, at least. So we will see.
Again, glad we ain't trying to go find a coach this year.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'd be fishing from the bottom of the barrel. It'd be really bad.
It'd be some like special teams coordinator.
No, it'd be FCS. It'd be FCS.
Yeah, we tried that approach and it'd backfire on us.
We'd go after James Madison's coach. It'd be the one time that their coach hasn't succeeded.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh boy. But if anyone's mad, you can blame exactly what we said earlier. Players and leadership. That means Grimes and Babinski, because the bus stops with them.
Yep. I've never been one to really point the finger at the AD, but I'm definitely starting to now. I'm starting to realize it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So what I also realize is Mad Mushroom makes some darn good food. And the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom has been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever any of the three of us visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which it's still October for another 10 days. So you can get the caramel apple pie pizza, which is their brown sugar sauce topped with lots of apples, crushed graham crackers, walnuts, and cinnamon finished with a caramel drizzle. So if you like dessert, that's right up your alley. Hit them up. Any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5, all caps, online at madmushroom.com to get $5 off any order over $20. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And we're happy that they've been on board for the last handful of years as a sponsor of the podcast. And Webby will tell you more about our other great sponsor.
Yes, sir. We've got the shop. Happy to have them back on again. Megan Hometown Apparel since 2011. Now they've got 3 retail locations across Indianapolis, 1 in downtown, 1 in Carmel, 1 in. So if you're in them, stop on by. They got great people, great stuff to choose from. If you're shopping online, it's Christmas time now. Tam's got a nice drink tumbler there. I've got the script hoodie sweatshirt. If you go to shopping.com, if you use promo code breakdown, you get free shipping.
Yeah. We've got tumblers, hats, hoodies, t-shirts, stickers.
Should be coming out with designs soon with basketball season approaching. They usually do that for obviously Purdue, IU, Butler, even Ball State to some degree, but definitely the big three major.
They got Braden Smith shirts, Trey Kaufman Ren shirts, throwback Gene Pool shirt. So, Yep. Get the like what we said. It's Christmas about 2 months away. So. Perfect Christmas gift for the Boilermaker and your family. So, all right. Any closing thoughts?
Let's get 2 W's this weekend.
More if we're including volleyball. I don't know who they play, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But yes, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Wildcats, beat the Scarlet Knights, and win homecoming.
Boiler up.